It's time to get your sports weekend rolling. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton.
Final hour, welcome back, Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Only soccer note of the day, ESPN is extremely angry right now because they pushed Fulham playing today on ESPN2 because Clint Dempsey, the only really noticeable American soccer player, plays for Fulham, and he's not playing today. He's getting the day off. I find that kind of silly. Welcome back. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. We're going to start talking a little bit of Tigers, and then we've got Michigan State football. Spring game with Joe Rexroad as well, Lansing State Journal at 10:30. And Scott, I want to start with this statistic about the Detroit Tigers. Let me know if you know who this is. In his first 8 appearances, 4 hits, 1 earned run. In his last 2/3 of an innings, 5 hits, 6 earned runs. Who am I talking about?
Benoit.
That is a very concerning stat. Because one thing that I talked about a couple of weeks ago was that Benoit and Valverde so far were holding up. Well, now Benoit has an ego issue, and Benoit has a confidence issue because clearly something's not cutting for him. Something's not biting for him. And on top of it, he's not owning up to it.
It's fine that you give up a walk-off grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. Like,
is
there's
it?
Well, no, technically not. But
when you're getting paid $13 million over 2 years, is it?
In the grand scheme of things, it's one game. He got hit around a little bit. Own up to it. You slotted a fastball, and Carlos Santana rode that puppy into right field. I mean, he crushed. I was happy, though, because I could switch over to the wings quicker. But then I find out, reading from Tony Paul, who's been on the show before, that he just decided to not talk to reporters afterwards. And I have not been in a baseball locker room after a game, but I've been in many basketball, many football post games.
Yep.
Where you have to wait around for the guys to shower and then hope that they'll talk to you. And apparently, Benoit just decided he saw all the reporters still there.
He just left the clubhouse?
And as he's leaving, he goes, "You guys waiting for me? Well, keep waiting." And left.
That's the best way to handle it, let me tell you.
Especially saying that to reporters who are writing the story that's going
about
to go
you.
To press.
Correct.
About you. And you just upset them even more. Why would they? Maybe they were just going to say, you know, it was an off night. He got caught with a couple of pitches. He'll rebound. Now it's going to turn into he's done. He doesn't have control. He's not the pitcher. He's not worth all the money. Everything this. He's got attitude issues.
Here's the biggest concern with this, in my opinion. Now, at the beginning of the season, I heard all about this great bullpen that the Tigers were going to have. And as you know, I'm pretty sure you didn't either. I didn't buy into it. I didn't think Perry was that great of an option. I think Schlereth is okay, but I don't think he's a fantastic option. The only good things that they had going for them in the bullpen was Valverde and Benoit. It was the only good things, and Valverde was a question mark. Well, now you take the one sure thing in your bullpen, and you say that he's giving up 5 runs in the last 2/3 of an inning? That's a serious, serious situation on a team that still isn't very much in the hunt. I mean, we're talking about the beginning of May, end of April. They're 5.5 games back. If they take the next 2 against Cleveland, now they're 3.5 back. They're at 500. If you told me that at the beginning of the season, that at the end of April, they would be 500 and 3.5 games back, I'd say playing the Yankees at the beginning of the year, having a West Coast swing, I'd be very happy with that. So they've still got plenty of time. I'm not saying by any means is it time to panic, is the season done or anything like that. It's May. But I am saying it is concerning when your top reliever in the offseason that you picked up is giving up this many runs over the last 2 outings. If you give up a lot of runs and then you come back and you have a couple good outings before you do it again, that's one thing. If you're giving these up back to back, that means you're either tipping pitches, your pitches aren't biting, or you've lost confidence.
I look at you're going a whole season where they're at. I look at just in the last week, coming out of last weekend, they were on such a high, sweeping the White Sox, outscoring them, what was it, 21-3 in a 3-game series. Then you come back at home, get swept by the worst team in the league, Seattle. Okay, you're facing Felix Hernandez, Eric Bedard, and Michael Pineda. tough three pitchers. I'll give you that. And you score six runs in those three games. That's not good, but
yeah,
with those
Seattle's
pitchers, okay.
Lineup sucks.
That's the problem. It's giving up 24
Sean
runs.
Sean Figgins is hitting like 0-50. I mean, he's terrible.
There are two guys you should be able... One guy, I'll give you, that you should be able to name for Seattle. That's Ichiro. Then... You might know Sean Figgins if you're just a casual
Smoke.
Justin Smoke's having a good year. And you might know Milton Bradley.
Yep.
And that's about it. You might... I couldn't even tell you who their catcher was in those games right now.
I don't know. I don't remember. But the bottom line is... See, you're talking short-term, I'm talking long-term. If you looked at it, I think the high-low, the balance, because they did win the series against Texas, and if I had to pick at the beginning, if I had looked at their schedule top to bottom and said win-loss, 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 so to speak, all the way down, I probably would have had them right around 500 at the end of April because they're playing the Yankees, because they're playing Texas, because they're on the road at Seattle and Oakland, and that's tough to do. And they're playing the White Sox, who I thought were going to be a much better team. So... I think they're about par for the course if they win these last two games. I'm just very concerned about the bullpen for the rest of this year from a confidence standpoint.
I get what you're saying, but then you come in and you lose to Jeanmar Gomez, which he had maybe two starts before that in his career, and he didn't dominate the Tigers, but you should be able to knock him out of the game early. Now they go up against Justin Masterson, who... I mean, you've loved him from pretty much the get-go of the
yes.
season. And then they're bringing up a kid, Alex White, who is a good prospect, whereas Gomez was just kind of a fill-in guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Moving on from the pitching, going over to their lineup, which you were talking about, Alex Avila is hitting way above what anybody expected him to. Brennan Botch has been a good hitter. He's not as much power this year as he was last year, but he's still hitting at a good clip, and Miguel Cabrera is having a Miguel Cabrera type of season. But the question now is, yeah, what were you going
to
say?
Well, I was just going to go to, it's been a week. Where do you stand now on Austin Jackson? I think you said 2 weeks.
Oh, I'm fine
before.
With Austin Jackson.
Still?
He went 2-for-5 last night, didn't he? He went 2-for-5 yesterday. He went 2-for-5 a couple games ago. I think he's catching his stride. Yeah, he's hitting 178 overall, but over the last couple of games, he's hitting just fine. Let's look at it. Last couple of games, he went 2-for-5 against Cleveland. Couple games before that, he went 2-for-4. Yeah, in the White Sox series, he was 2-for-5 and 2-for-4. Then he went 0-for in a couple of games. But I think he's getting his swing back. Look, if Austin Jackson finishes the season hitting 250, I think that's right around where I expect Austin Jackson to hit. I think because he got off to such a hot start, people thought he should be a 300 hitter all the time. Austin Jackson's not much different than Curtis Granderson. He's really not. So,
except doesn't have the power. That's the main difference.
Well, correct. But at the same time, he strikes out. He doesn't really steal bases as much as you would expect a guy with his speed to steal bases. He's a lot like Curtis Granderson. And so he is there for defense. He's not there to hit home runs. He shouldn't be there to be a leadoff guy, in my opinion. I don't think he is. I think he's a seventh hitter, sixth hitter at best. I don't think he's really a leadoff guy like they're putting him out to be. But everybody's asking the question, if he's not the leadoff hitter, who is? I'm going to throw out an idea to you, and I want to see what you think of this. Now that Mags is back, we don't know when Guillen's coming back, but he may be coming back. What do you think about Brennan Bosch, who's not hitting home runs, but is hitting 341 and takes a lot of walks, being the new leadoff hitter for Detroit? Honest opinion. I'm just throwing
it
out there.
You can't do it every day. Well, it wouldn't be terrible, but you'd have to wait definitely until Victor Martinez comes back from the DL because you have to put Bosch
right.
around
Cabrera.
Right,
no. I'm talking about when this lineup is healthy, if Austin Jackson is not hitting... I looked at this and I said to myself, the only feasible thing to do if you need a leadoff hitter is to put Brennan Bosch there when everybody's healthy. Because he's not hitting for power this year. He's driving in runs, but overall he's not hitting for power, so that doesn't necessarily mean you need to put him in that 3 spot or that 5 spot or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got an on-base over 400. I would like him... down in the 5 or 6.
I'm
to
not
drive
saying
the runs.
That he doesn't belong best down there.
Right.
For the Tigers' needs. Look, if you got a leadoff hitter that's not getting on, that doesn't help you. Brennan Bosch gets on base. at this point. Now, whether he goes into a slump like he did last year, where after June he gets like three hits the rest of the season, I don't know. But right now, looking at it on April 30th, as the season goes along, of the options that they have, I see Brennan Bosch as the best option to hit leadoff.
I'd still go with Johnny Peralta before. Johnny Peralta and Will Rimes, I'd go before. Johnny Peralta on base, 330. Rimes, 314. Peralta's not doing too bad, batting 265.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the best option, but then I do like putting Bosch down five or six just to be able to that guy. I mean, unless you want to move Avila up in the lineup rather than betting eighth or ninth to give the protect of the left-handed bat there, that could work. I'm still old school, though, in my ways. As much as I don't like Jackson as a leadoff man,
yeah,
I do still like a guy with speed there.
Right. I guess I just look at it. See, as a Yankees fan, I loved when Derek Jeter was the leadoff hitter of the Yankees. And he wasn't necessarily going to steal bases, but he got on base. And he could move around the bases. So if somebody hit something in the gap when he was on first, he could get home on it. And I can see that at Brennan Bosch. He's not going to steal a lot of bases, but if you hit something in the gap, he can get home from first base. And that's the type of leadoff hitter I would rather have, that than a guy who's going to hit 200 to 250 and have an on-base percentage of 270. That's just me.
I think he's also helped by where he's at in the lineup, though, because he definitely gets pitched to differently being around Miguel Cabrera.
Without a doubt.
And that definitely does change. The leadoff hitter definitely sees everything different than anybody else in the lineup.
Without a doubt. And I'm not going to argue that at all. I just think that at this point, if you look at it from a statistic standpoint and look at it from an on-base percentage point, I think Brennan Bosch is the best guy to put at leadoff once this team gets healthy and has everybody back.
Well, I mean, technically Miguel Cabrera would be the best because he'd bet the most times.
No, I disagree, because Miguel Cabrera hits for power and stuff. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm saying, like, on-base percentage-wise. Like, the theory is that the reason it's all based this way, you want those guys are going to bat the most. But I do. I'm just being kind
of snarky towards you. Oh, I know what you're saying. I know you're being a jerk, and I get that. I get it. I can handle it.
That is exactly
what I mean. That's totally fine. But I'm saying, if your on-base percentage is in the 400s, that means you get on base a lot. And what do you want your leadoff man to do? Get on base.
I would definitely move him up. I'd like to see him bat third a little bit more. Maglio's just not getting it done, bottom line.
No. Mags is not hitting well. Mags is a little bit over the hill at this point, and I think we all saw that coming. The power is just not there. It was gone a while ago, and now he's just not hitting for average either.
Well, not hitting for average, and he has one double.
Yep.
I mean, his slugging is 190. That's worse than what I slugged, and I had no power at all.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue that. All right, when we come back, we'll talk spring football, Michigan State. Then Joe Rexrode will join us at 10:30 in Lansing State Journal. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.